Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Come to Air Temple Island, the new home.
I'm the Avatar. You gotta chill with it.
You're the Avatar, and I'm an idiot.
You're a firebender. Boil it yourself.
Go away, Mako.
Don't worry. I will protect you, my feeble turtle duck.
I will make no such promises.
Bolin's got some moves, huh?
You amuse me. I will make you mine.
You shall meet again soon, beautiful woman.
I can't wait to get started. Yes! Finally!
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar, The Last Airbender, and The Legend of Korra podcast for DonBuFang.net. I am your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Hey, people.
Jeff.
Hello.
Delaney.
Hello.
And Britt will be joining us later. Today we'll be discussing Book 2 as a whole, recapping the entire... Not recapping, but looking back on it now that it's over. And also revisiting the finale, now that we've had a little bit more time to think about it and reevaluate. We're going to be discussing our least and most favorite episodes from the book. And looking back over, at the very least, what will be a memorable season of Korra. This counts, by the way, this is our podcast for the week of Thanksgiving, and we'll get more into our future schedule at the end of the podcast. You can please stick with us, even though Korra's over. We have weekly podcasts continuing at least all throughout December and probably January. You can email us at dylan@donbufang.net and Tumblr, Twitter @donbufang. Our podcast website is donbufang.net/podcast, and you can post on the forums at donbufang.net/forums. So in news this week, ratings for the Korra Book 2 finale, to only 2 million viewers and a 0.5 adults 18 to 49 rating. Pretty standard for Book 2 as a whole, which is down from Book 1. Not great ratings, but Nickelodeon as a whole is down. The Book 1 finale is about 3.5, somewhere in that range.
Wow.
The Korra premiered,
I think. Look at how much it didn't affect that. I didn't watch it.
on TV. I think the Korra Book 1 premiered to 4.5 million viewers. That's the high.
Wow.
Yeah, but as a whole, Nickelodeon is down. There's continuing misinformation to go out on Tumblr that Friday night is like a death slot for Nickelodeon and that Saturday would be better. This is not true.
Friday is like considered the death slot for Fox.
For broadcast television, yes. Nickelodeon does not follow that model. And also, Friday morning might give slightly more viewers, but nothing significant. And it
Friday,
should be,
you said Friday morning.
Saturday morning. And yeah. It should be noted.
He's gone at school.
And it should be noted that the episode of SpongeBob that airs before Korra this week got 3.2 or something million viewers.
So sad.
And it drops over a million into Korra. So
they're like, yay, SpongeBob. They're like, oh god, this girl.
So
no.
It's really not the time slot. It's anything that's not SpongeBob on Nick gets this type of rating. This is just how it goes.
Oh, time to go to Cartoon Network. It's not SpongeBob anymore.
When I was babysitting, the kids' bedtime was at like 8, so maybe that has a thing to do
with
it.
The 7 o'clock SpongeBob gets about 3 million, and when Korra aired at 7, didn't get that much. So it's really it's nothing really.
If you're not SpongeBob on Nickelodeon, you're chopped liver.
And so you know it's not going to affect Korra. We're getting 2 more books. That's happening.
Straight to DVD.
Straight to DVD books. That'd be a great use of Nickelodeon's money. Okay,
yes.
let's get into Book 2.
Works for Futurama.
And then they can make SpongeBob all the time. That'd be great for Nickelodeon.
They already are single show dependent network. I mean, probably not.
They were really dependent on iCarly when that was.
That's actually TNT dependent on NCIS. USA.
I guess
dependent.
A better example is ESPN dependent on SportsCenter, but they also have a lot of live programming. SpongeBob makes up 42% of Nickelodeon's programming. Okay. Let's get into Book 2. Let's start by revisiting the finale. I have not had time to rewatch the finale, but I have had time to think about it more. And I think my opinions are largely the same. I think our general consensus at the end of the podcast was, as in terms of first time viewing excitement, it worked a lot and it was very exciting. In terms of overall quality, it was not as good as the excitement level. as the production values were. It had a lot of bad plot things and writing, at least in the first episode. Has anyone developed new thoughts on this?
I'm slightly less upset. That's about it.
Why are you slightly less upset?
Because, like, the crazy, like, Delaney madness has, like, subsided a little bit. Because I was just, like... Because I was just raging the whole time. And I guess it just might be because I haven't watched it in a bit. I mean, I might watch it again and just get super mad. But I think I'm a bit more relaxed about it. Because it's, like, we have two whole seasons. It'll be okay. I don't know, I guess I've been watching, like, terrible television, so I'm like, it doesn't seem that bad in comparison to what I've been watching.
Wait, Dylan, did you mention that the next book is called Changes?
Oh yeah, I guess we didn't talk about that in news. Gross. Okay, Changes!
Good job.
Oh, and we also have that Mike article to talk about, too. But yeah, Changes, next book, Mike and Brian say stuff in the interviews with Wall Street Journal's Speakeasy blog, which they seem to always go to for interviews. And yeah, Changes. Mike says it's about changes that are accompanying the world after harmonic convergence.
That's amazing. Oh,
great, guys. Can we talk about how bad the
that is?
The
such
name is
a good
book?
Metaphor.
It's not changes. It's change, not changes.
Here's my theory. Okay, every book has been called after an element, right? Element of fire, element of water. Now I have the element of change. So the next
surprise,
book, obviously, is going to be the element of surprise.
Yes. Element of surprise.
Yes.
Book four, surprise.
Okay with that.
That'd be great, actually. I really want to say that.
I'd be upset if anything other than that happened.
It has to have an exclamation point too. Surprise.
Yes, it does.
Yep.
And I really like where they seem to be going with book. I mean, obviously we have no idea where they're going with it, but I like that they're dealing with the ramifications of the spirit portals. And they always say
it's almost like there's continuity in this.
I know they always say they're dealing with harmonic convergence in this interview, but like I guess that also means Cora leaving the portals open. I'm really excited to see where that goes. The name itself, change, not great, but I don't care really. Like it's just a name, not that big of a deal.
Well, it bothers me. Like just
would you say that if your parents named you change?
It's terrible. But like my thing is that like. If they focus on something other than what happened in season, like, I don't want a villain, but I want some other forces developing, I'll be okay with it. But if it's just about what happened in season two, I'm going to be upset because it's stupid. Like, I want more. Does that make sense? Like, I want more.
Yeah, there's going to be more. They're not just going to talk about the portal and stuff.
But the names are stupid. I'm like, really? Like, spirit. Because my big thing is that, like, water, earth, fire, air. Yes, they're elements and spirits, but, like, it ties to something that's unique to the Avatar world. Like, it ties to, like, I can make a connection. This is the Avatar world. This is something special in the Avatar world. Change is just a word. Like, it's nothing really special. Does that make sense? Like, there's not, like, yes, we have water in our world, but, like, it doesn't, you know, does that make any sense at all? Like, it doesn't, there's not really a unique tie to Avatar, and it irritates me.
Yeah.
You seem like you would not enjoy a book about water, you know, because it's, you need something more than just water.
Already happened.
We already had a book called Water. When did we have that?
Oh.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
I know.
No, I know.
Avatar.
No, I think Delaney means like I think my interpretation of what you said was like the elements related to like the cultures of the world and of like is more of like it relates to the physical Avatar world and stuff we'll be seeing there. Whereas change is like nothing. Change doesn't mean anything in the Avatar world.
That's exactly what I meant. Because spirit world, water bending, blah, 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 Avatar world. But it's like change. Like, this is a word. I'm irritated. Yep, Dylan got it. Good job.
Okay, yeah. So I could see that.
You get the gold star for today.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I give those out, totally.
That's good. So, yeah, we don't really have much to go on for change, but I'm excited to see where they go with it. I don't know. Any other thoughts on change?
It's not good.
It's not good?
Nope. Even in general, change isn't good. Everything has to stay the same.
But then there's the opposite argument of that.
Okay, Britt is here. Hi, Britt.
Hey, Britt.
Hi, sorry. Life
That's happened. Okay. You haven't missed much. But yeah, we were just talking about change, book three, but now we're going to get back, I think, into the finale. Britt, have you developed any new thoughts on the book two finale?
New? Probably not. I have basically the same thoughts I had after I watched it, and that was like, epic, and it tied the series together, and it exceeded my expectations. It was not perfect.
Are you chewing gum?
No.
That was so accusatory.
I think you were more positive than the general podcast consensus, you would say, because you weren't on the finale discussion.
No, yeah. It was not perfect. Okay, I'm not trying to excuse some of the things were what about it, but overall I felt satisfied.
Okay.
So, for the finale, it could have been better. It could have been also a lot worse. So.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily. I think that's an interesting thing. Satisfied. I'm not necessarily unsatisfied with the finale.
Yeah. I probably agree with that.
I did. Obviously, there's tons of plot flaws, but it wasn't. Book one finale, I didn't think was significantly worse quality than this. I thought they're about even. That being said, I was mostly unsatisfied with the book one finale.
I think it's because the setup of the whole season, the first season, I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It's just I personally thought it was so much better than the finale, so disappointing. And then season two of Korra was just the entire time. And then it gets a little bit better. And then you get to the finale and hey, this isn't that bad because they kind of set you up. You know what I mean? The bar is lower.
I honestly think that the episodes got better after the sting. You know, there was
yes,
they got a little bit better. There were some bad ones where I was what, but overall, I liked season two better than I liked season one, and I felt the finale left me satisfied, which is makes me happy. You know. It doesn't make me an angry fan who types out long rants, but
I think that the content of the book one finale didn't tie together what we saw that season well at all. We had an unsatisfying reveal of Aman's identity. We had unsatisfying conclusions to Korra's heir and spiritual side arcs, and unsatisfying conclusion to her romance with Mako. Really, just everything wasn't that good.
I was talking about book two.
No, 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 I know. I'm about to make a point. Yeah, I'm about to tie it back. But with the book two finale, I really think a lot of what they do is actually very satisfying to plot threads throughout book two, even if we have just giant deus ex machinas and we have the conclusion to Korra's arc, which I really think is handled well. This finale almost focuses on Korra's growth to the detriment of all other plot devices in the finale.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and I think it's handled. I don't like the giant monitors and her becoming a blue giant thing, which Mike comments on in a minute. But it's satisfying in terms of character. And I also think the decision to open the portals at the end is satisfying with regard to how they've handled the spirit world theme throughout the season.
I think it has to tie that in. It just has to do with how the seasons are built up. Season one, it felt like they didn't know they were going to have more seasons, so they had to have all this stuff in there. They had all of these ideas, but they couldn't finish. They couldn't tie it off at the end. But they had more time, so season two they could. Does that make sense? They were able to have a more satisfying conclusion because they didn't I just feel the seasons are so different because of the way they're. Their production and how they were built up to where, the finales aren't comparable because, the build-up was just so weird.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, the book one finale had to wrap everything up and had to do it in, a happy ending, not satisfying conclusion, obviously, but just had to tie everything together as much as they could. The book two finale could leave plot threads open. It left the spirit world stuff, and instead of Korra and Mako having this romantic happy conclusion in book one, instead here we got them breaking up, it being more ambiguous through the rest of the, although this didn't seem like a very ambiguous breakup through the rest of the seasons, and
I'm pretty sure they had the opposite of an ambiguous breakup when it made me kind of happy.
Yeah, me too. But
yeah, not all of my Korra shippers, not necessarily they broke up, but yes, but that it wasn't ambiguous.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they won't revisit this in the show, but...
It totally
They're like, I'll always love you. We're going to have it. This is a soap opera now. This is going to happen again.
I just want to have a resolution, and I'll be happy.
Originally, I was I really like how they handled that Mako and Korra breakup, but now looking back on it, none of it was earned. The All Always Love You,
Where is Asami lurking in the background wanting to slit everyone's throat? Like, where is she? Like, this needs to happen.
I want to have her blow up at him, and I want them to have a resolution. Not, like, them get together or them, like, break up. Just, like, them come to some sort of terms that's definite. Because
I think Asami's going to become Batman, and she's going to be so fueled by rage and hate and just be, like, against everything they do. Like, it's that's what they're doing to her.
Sometimes when you love people, you don't work well with them together as a couple, but you still love them.
I guess that's what they're going for, right? But
Sakura was gone for like ever, so we don't, it's like, yeah, you don't know.
We don't see them not work well together, other than the blowing up scene, which is like whatever. And we don't see them really love each other, honestly, that much. We see a few,
except that one time when Korra wins. Wait, doesn't Korra win it for Mako, or is win it for Korra?
Korra wins it for Mako, right? The Appa.
See, that's about it.
Wait, or is it, I don't remember.
It was a bison.
That was so long ago. Yeah, so
it feels like another lifetime before Godzilla attack.
I think the finale, despite overall plot inconsistencies, was a pretty solid wrap up to the season. I guess that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, in terms of the season, it was perfect for the season.
I don't know about perfect. We had giant.
Well, in comparison to like the first half of the season was horrible. Like, we're just like,
I wouldn't say it was horrible, but
yes, it was.
The first four episodes were terrible.
I thought most episodes were above average.
They weren't,
except for one. And even,
well,
I don't know.
When I say terrible, I mean terrible for like Avatar and like horror. I don't mean like necessarily like the scum of the television network.
Yeah. Fair, I guess. And we'll go over favorite and least favorite. But I guess we're trying to get through the finale first. Yeah. Britt, what are your thoughts on the spirit portals being open at the end of the finale?
Like, do I think it's going to end well?
Do you think it was, like, cool? No. And do you like that they did it?
I think this is going to... Yes, I like that Korra made her own decision. Even if it's going to blow up in her face, I do like seeing her make a definite decision on her own.
Cool.
So I think it's neat that they left it open. They left something completely new to allow it to happen. And it's just, it's an expansion of their current reality and their current canon. And I think in that sense, it's good.
Yeah.
Because the spirits have always been important to the Avatar universe. And now we get to experience them like head on again.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I really do like expanding the universe, because...
They kind of resolved the whole spirit world issue, because now there's not a spirit world. They don't have to explain anything anymore.
There is a spirit world. It's just, you know, open, right? But, yeah, I think that's a good point about expanding the universe. I think that's a good decision to make at this juncture in Avatar, Avatar Korra, because it is getting... I mean, I think when creating Korra, what they instantly did was, we need to do something different in this universe than what we've been doing for 61 episodes in Avatar. They advanced 70 years. They have all this new technology. Then we kind of got used to that. And it's like, book two, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to have a civil war we don't care about. We're going to go to the spirit world. That's cool. We haven't done that much. But now we're not going to do that anymore, and we can't hinge on that much. So what are we going to do now? We're used to the technology. We can't keep going back to the spirit world, and so we don't want it to be stale. Well, we can have the spirits and the humans intermingle. It's a really nice angle to approach the new season with.
Well, expansion is the natural, like, it's kind of like, I mean, I feel like we should expect this. I think we probably did expect this at some point, but not necessarily like this particular way of expansion, but like, isn't that the whole point of us having Legend of Korra? Because if not, we just have Avatar Book 4, and... Does that make sense? Like, we want this, like, I feel like the evolution, like, I'm glad it's happening now and not necessarily later. Like, it's like, yes, let's get started on this now. Let's have some expansion. Because that's kind of the whole point of a spinoff series, is that to expand the universe. I'm not saying the Avatar world was cramped, but, like, it's kind of like, it kind of defeats the purpose if we're not expanding.
Maybe.
Of Korra. It defeats the purpose of Korra if we're not expanding.
Maybe.
I'm still not okay with Godzilla, because I thought that was stupid, but, like...
I think that
I thought Godzilla was awesome.
I feel like they could have had Avatar Book 4, quote unquote, 70 years later, and it would have been perfectly fine. I also think they could have had post Avatar adventures, and it would have been amazing.
Oh yeah, the way Korra is presented, like that, it's Korra, its purpose is to expand.
Maybe.
I mean, because if it was Avatar, yeah, they could have done, like, the expansion, but that'd be more of, like, that'd be a slower growth. Though I'm assuming, well, granted, they had to have seen a lot of growth, given that short time period.
I don't know if there is a purpose for Korra. Might be a problem, but I don't think they're setting out to do anything. Like,
well, I feel like we should expect expansion because...
I agree we should expect it, and I agree they've kept doing it, and I agree that's kind of inherent with a spinoff, but I don't think Korra is necessarily built around changing the world.
Think Korra is built around a singleized character, and that is Korra. Like, everything that happens, it is going to happen in Korra is going to be around her. Like, I feel like Avatar was, like, everything it revolved around the war. Plot-wise, that's what the plot served.
Stupid, but it revolved around the world. Like, it was the Avatar world as a whole. Aang was serving the greater purpose of the whole planet, which I feel like gave it a greater sense of purpose, and it sounds stupid, but more direction than with Korra, because people are unpredictable and craziness, and, like, you can't really... Like, you don't know what they're going to do. So I guess that kind of makes sense as to why Korra is this way, because it's focused on one person. Does that make sense?
Go ahead.
Avatar had more direction than Korra. Like, it has singular direction, a singular, like, plot purpose.
Yeah.
But it ultimately had to be achieved. And I actually like that, and I kind of wish Korra had more of that. But I think with the spirit world, we're, like, getting something, and this is going to carry us into book 3 and into book 4. Like,
hopefully,
I think this is going to be a large, or at least Varric.
Because, like, the whole series of Avatar was, like, the whole 3 seasons was all about... the whole point was Sozin's Comet. Yeah, we had little side stories, but, like, Aang had to learn all 3 elements and defeat the Fire Lord. That was it. We knew that from day 1. That was it. And we got there. But with Korra, like, you have to defeat him on. Now we have spirits, and now this is what's going on anymore. I don't know what the point of the show is.
So I think there's 2 things to talk about here. One, or what you 2 are talking about, and I want to comment on. One is the Korra is about Korra thing. Which I actually don't think is really true. I think book 1 of Korra could have largely happened without Korra.
Yes. That's definitely true.
Book 2 is about Korra.
I think like half of book 2 could have also happened without Korra.
Yes. Well, she was gone for, you know, a little bit of it. So it did actually happen without her.
A few episodes did happen without her. But her presence was there. But this is why I liked at the end that she became much more of a substantial character.
Well, it's kind of terrible. She's mattered. Not the star of her own show. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think the book 2 finale asserts her back into that position.
True.
Which I think is one of its strong points.
The fact that we need 2 seasons to do that, though.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they did it, but the problem is that we had to do that.
Avatar didn't necessarily need Aang to be this strong central force to function. I think he was, and I think people maybe overlook that sometimes. You look back to, not so great episode like The Great Divide, and that episode is centered around Aang being this central character, which is why I give it credit despite, you know, its bad writing and stuff, but...
Actually, I think that episode's cute. I'm just going to be, like, disagreeing with both of you all night.
I mean, you're disagreeing with everyone on Great Divide, but yeah. Like, I think it's cute, I guess, but...
It's cute, but...
Like,
I've, like, lied about that for, like, so long.
But... Dylan actually ruined my happiness about The Great Divide when he started talking about it. Like, his whole problem with The Great Divide, like, shattered all my images about The Great Divide.
I don't take it seriously. Like, everyone's just like, ugh. I'm just like, no, obviously this is meant to be, like, a really, like, a filler episode. Like, Nightmares and Daydreams, you can't take that episode seriously.
Nightmares and Daydreams, and you talk about 2 completely Nightmares and Daydreams are...
One actually happened, the other one he was hallucinating.
Okay, back to my point was. I think Avatar also has a secondary central figure in Zuko, which makes it different.
Yeah, the hero and the anti-hero. Or
yeah,
anti-hero.
Whatever Zuko's plot arc, I mean, he's an anti-hero for some of it, but then
I didn't necessarily mean like it because obviously he becomes. But does that make sense? Like, that's the best way to categorize him at the moment.
He's
an anti-hero in book 2.
Anti-hero in book 1.
We're just gonna call him an anti-hero.
He's an anti-hero in book 1.
Okay,
book 2, it's messy.
It's not really a dual hero story. They're just 2 parallel stories.
I think it becomes a dual hero story.
It does, yes.
Yeah, which is interesting. Because
they share the same crusade, which is really neat at the end. But
yeah, not crazy about that. But I think that I don't know if Korra needs to be... Like, I like that they're making Korra the central figure, but I don't know if she needs to be this strong central figure in order for the series to function. I just think that's one way to get it back on track, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like it was more necessary for Avatar because, like, the whole point was Aang had to master all the elements to do everything. Because, like, the war wouldn't have been won without Aang. Like, that's the whole point
of the show. Yeah, I guess this gets back to the second point that I wanted to comment on. There's no central plot thread throughout Korra, which I think is fine. I don't think it needs to have this whole Aang needs to master the elements and save the world thing.
But they have to do it well.
Well, sure. They need to do anything.
That's what
well.
I meant. Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing, inherently.
I honestly don't know how successful, not successful, but how necessarily, quote unquote, well Avatar: The Last Airbender executed the overarching plot arc. I think I've made this point several times, but I think Avatar shines when looking at it from a episode to episode, maybe within a season perspective. I think when you take a lot of the plot threads that arc throughout the entire show, it seems much weaker than it actually is.
Yes.
Like, in the sense that they don't make it into the finale, you know? Like, I feel like the finale weakened the series plot-wise because they wrote off some of the stronger plots. But if you go up right up until 219, or not 219, 319, they're still pretty strong. So, like, overall, it achieves what it means to achieve. It just kind of has a dying balloon ending.
I would say until...
Maybe not dying. But do you get my impression?
I would say until about, you know, early mid book three, they're pretty strong on track for the overarching Aang master the elements, they have a thing. But then it kind of falls apart with Aang not mastering firebending, him cheating with the thing in book two, and yeah. You know, it gets a little bad. But I don't know if that's a weakness. Like, that's just it's just like something that happens. Like, yeah. Avatar shines in spite of that. Like, Korra doesn't need to have this overarching plot.
Yeah.
It can just be good.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, but I don't think it's necessary either way. Like, they have to have this. It's more of like, whatever they're gonna do, they have to do it well. They can't, like. Does that make sense? Like I'm like the confusing. We're not sure what's going on in Korra. Like, it's not inherently a bad thing, but, like, we need to know what the heck is going on, and they need to do it somewhat well, where it kind of flows a little bit, or we at least have some clue of, like, what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
I would argue that you don't necessarily have to do that right away, because I read a comic called Morning Glories. I don't know if anyone listening Morning has ever Glories. Heard of it. But you know, you always know, like, the thing about it is you always know less than or equal to what a character knows at any point in time. And it leaves you in the dark a lot, you know, because it's building. And I don't know if that's what they were trying to
Well, that's
to
different
achieve,
than Korra being absent the entire
well.
Time.
Well, I mean, there are characters that are absent. But it's like, you know what I mean, a building story arc? Like,
yeah,
you're
that's
not
a device. I mean, that's like a proven device.
Like, knowing less than the character and you're just sort of left in the dark. But do you think we were meant to be left in the dark? Or do you think it's just, like, a plot faulty? Because you don't necessarily have to know everything. But I'm not talking about Korra as a character. I'm talking about plot.
But that's what I think, though. Like, if you're talking about if it's... The whole part is, like, what does Korra know? Korra doesn't know anything. She doesn't really have a character. But we do know more than Korra, so it's just, like, that part.
I don't think we're supposed to be left in the dark, like Martin.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think... I don't know. I don't know if I can describe what they're going for. I think it's a pretty standard linear plot, at least through book one. Book two, it's somewhat unclear what they're doing. They're trying to manage a few things and have this overarching spirit thing, which they don't really have in the beginning, and then it becomes heavy at the end. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm trying to branch this back to a topic that we were discussing. Jeff and Sam, right, anything to add to any of these? Any
no.
of these?
You can just have a podcast with Delaney and Britt. It would be great.
Can you imagine me and Delaney? Sorry.
I feel like I'm really interested to see this next book if they deal with Korra, like, relying too much or too little on her peers, like, advice, or like, if she feels out of her depth trying to deal with this whole changed world, or if she can stay on top of things, like, if she's going to be skinny and frazzled trying to deal with, like, sort of like how Aang was at the end of the war, you know.
Well, which way do you think would be better? Like, does it matter? Are you just curious as to see which way?
I'm just curious to see how they deal. Like, I think either one way or the other extreme would be bad. So
yeah, definitely.
You have to have balance. I don't know what if they do that, whether they will make her list towards total reliance or just ignore everything. Probably going to ignore everything the way she acts. But
well, if they do extremes either way, that actually kind of like cancels out the character development we supposedly got in book two. If that makes sense. Because like yeah. if she becomes super leader, that doesn't make any sense. And if she just completely just falls apart, that doesn't make any sense either. So yeah, middle ground's definitely best.
If you look
to see her try and fail, but like still try, you know,
try that's and fail. That's not
like
good.
One thing, not like try and then she'll fail. Like Daenerys Targaryen
from no Game spoilers. Of
Thrones fails to fails to capture some cities. That's a spoiler. That already happened, anyways. And you know, I wouldn't mind seeing her fail because one thing I like about Cora, and they've made very endearing about her, is that Cora never gives up. Even when it looks kind of like there is no way out. Like, if I was standing in, like, the spirit world and I lost Rava, I would probably just crumble into a ball and cry. And there would be no hope for anyone. But Cora does not give up. And that's kind of endearing. And I hope that they exemplify that more in book three, that she does not give up. And that she continues to try even when, you know, she feels overwhelmed. And I want to see her get overwhelmed and have to struggle with the political aspects of being the Avatar, which we haven't seen her do a whole lot yet, but I'd like to see her do more with.
Well, we saw the political aspects in the Civil War, and it was really bad. So I don't know if I'm a little wary.
I want to
of
see
that.
Them do it well, okay? And then I want to see
do it well,
you know,
okay?
The spirit.
Going back to something,
do you
want to
know what a good parallel is?
Yes, Sam.
Avatar and Korra and Star Wars trilogies. Korra is like the prequel trilogy in that it isn't as good as the original. The end.
That's a
the
terrific
end. I think we've made this parallel before.
No,
shut
up.
A lot of people get mad when we like say, oh, Korra is worse than Avatar. So I don't know if we want to get into that. Like, I think it is worse than Avatar, but I think we're just trying to compare devices, how they're using them, how successfully
apples
they're using
oranges.
Them.
Yeah, exactly.
It is apples and oranges, but at the same time, there is legitimate
actually
stuff to compare, which we've been talking about for the past 20 minutes.
I mean, like, writing-wise and, like, how the devices are used, there's definitely ways to compare it. But, of course, they did try their best to make the two shows different shows.
Yeah, going back to something Jeff said a little bit ago, it's not interesting, but if you look, it is interesting, but not.
Make up your mind, Dylan.
If you look at single thing Cora does in book two, except for the last thing she does, they are all dictated by some male force that is basically telling her what to do. And this continues even when she becomes Giant Blue Spirit Thing. Tenzin tells her specifically to do that. The only thing she ever does on her own is at the end deciding to keep the portals open, and she even
not just
consults.
Because Tenzin goes,
that's
because yeah,
Tenzin says,
yourself.
"Do what you want." Like, yeah. So from a whole, let's have this female lead make decisions on her own. This was very satisfying, even though she had to check in with the male. But just in terms of her being a substantial character. We really need to back away from reliance upon her dad, then Unalaq, then Varric, then back to Tenzin. Like, it was,
you know,
just
what I think we
everything.
Need, then?
Yeah, what?
Like, it's kind of a parallel to what Juan did. Like, Korra needs to be by herself. It needs to be her, Naga, or Ugi, or whoever, going around dealing with stuff. It just needs to be her. Like, because everyone else around her just causes problems.
And speaking of Juan, reminds me of another reason why I love this decision at the end. She's going in defiance of a male figure in her life, Juan.
And the first Avatar.
And the first, yeah. Well, I mean, for sure the first Avatar, but he happened to be male. Like,
exactly.
We've hated Juan being male until now, but I like that he was male now that Korra is defying him. Like, yeah.
Like, I like how they're not making, like, her defiance necessarily, like, a violent. She's just making her own decision.
Just making her own decision, yeah. Like, it can just be your.
And there's nothing, like, they didn't diss Juan or anything. It was perfect.
Well, no, they did diss Juan. They're like, maybe it was a mistake, which didn't necessarily need to be said.
But it wasn't, like,
dissing
him as a person, you know? It was like, maybe he made the wrong choice. You know, it wasn't, like, there was no aggressiveness at all.
Well, I feel like they should have been more like Aang, how he kind of did it in The Promise. I know we all hate it, but, like, for Aang, it was, this is what's right for now. It wasn't right for Roku however many years ago, but this is right now. I feel like they should have done that a bit more with Korra. Like, Juan made the decision he needed to make for his world. Korra has to make decisions she needs to make for her world. So I feel like they should have done that a bit more.
Yeah, I don't think the specific lines they used were necessarily great. Like, they tried to sum it up very shortly, and it comes off as, oh, maybe Juan was just completely wrong, whereas maybe Juan, I agree with you, maybe Juan's decision doesn't work right now would have been a better line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's tie this back to something on the outline. We've just been having kind of a free-flowing, which is good.
Wait, what outline?
Yeah, I know, what outline, right? But I guess back to the finale itself. We've been talking about this. Oh, that's right. I was like, oh, let's talk about Mike's thing 20 minutes ago. And then we like talked about other things for the entire time. But Mike wrote a blog post on his, you know, MikeDiMartinoStory.com. And yeah, he talked about writing the finale, except he didn't really talk about writing the finale. He says, where's his little summary thing? He says, in Hindu philosophy, there's the concept Atman, which is defined as the innermost essence of each individual, or the supreme universal self. This is my interpretation of what Kora sees and becomes when she meditates. The giant blue cosmic Kora is a visual representation of her inner essence. He also says things like, they thought it'd be cool to go back to the book two finale and see what would happen if Kora actually walked into the thing. I don't know if that made sense. Walked into the giant spirit ball, Kora. Like,
Aang didn't do it.
Yeah, because Aang didn't do it.
It broke away, didn't it? Because he, like, freaked out and left.
Yeah. What else does he say?
Well, he talks about shipping.
Does he talk about shipping in this?
Yeah. Oh, okay, maybe not.
Not in this. He talked about it in the interview. That's one thing that we wanted to talk about from their interview with the Speakeasy blog, was that Brian or Mike is like, I think that's actually Mike. He's like, we saw in Avatar that the fans loved the relationships, so we wanted to focus more on that in Korra. But then when we started writing relationships in Korra, the fans didn't like it. So the only thing I can conclude, this is like what him talking, is that fans like relationships in theory, and they like writing fanfics on them, but they don't actually want to see them.
Well, they did
anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so
from
I think
point
this,
of view, he might get that.
Yeah, I think this is just like not understanding what's going on. Necessarily. I can see why this would be frustrating for them, like a lot. I can definitely see that, but like.
But couldn't they realize how like I get it? Like they only knew the first season of Korra, but like by now they should be like, listen, there were 3 seasons of Avatar, and there were 61 episodes, and the finale, the last 10 seconds of the finale was the culmination of everything Aang and Katara had been through. And then they decide, in the first 2 seasons, they're going to get Mako and Korra together and then break them up. How do they think those two could be, like, related or seen as the same?
I think both could be legitimate, but I don't know if it's the quick-together, quick-breakup type thing. I think it's more of going for this dramatic aspect of the relationship drama, and also going for just the inclusion of just the completely unlikable Mako and the actions that he takes.
Well, it's like Aang and Katara was, we got it, but it's not quite subtle. Does that make sense? Like it's an undercurrent. It's not like a major thing until the very end.
A point I want to make is that I say this every single podcast. It doesn't need to be subtle. Like we can have overt romantic things.
But my thing is like, but they're not doing it well.
Is that right? So this is the problem. It's just, you know, not.
Maybe we can say this. Or maybe like another podcast topic could be like proposed fixes. How would we do this better?
Yeah,
it's really hard after the foundations in book one. Like I don't know if we necessarily give them enough credit for what they're working with after the Mako debacle in book one. Like they actually make Mako like somewhat tolerable for an episode in here.
I haven't wanted to punch him in the Mako
was better this season.
I wanted to punch him like towards the end of the season, but in the sting, yes. Like he was like kind of tolerable, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
I don't hate him. Do you remember me like ranting about him for like 10 minutes on a podcast like last season? They've made some strides.
I still do hate him, but not as much. And
I think part of it is the other half. Like Korra still doesn't have any development. Like we have to like.
Cool. Korra did get development, but not necessarily on a person front.
Exactly.
Not like with Mako. You know, they haven't had any development together as like a relationship. Really,
it's like two halves though. Like Aang and Katara were, I think, well developed characters, and they came together. Korra and Mako have to get some development on their own to become their own people before they can even try to be together.
I think a lot of their characters do hinge on their relationship with each other.
Which is not really a good thing, really, because like it's a crutch, and then they break up, and then it's like, where did the crutch go?
It's not a good thing if you want to do things with these characters that don't involve the two of them, which they obviously want to do with Korra. Like, this is a major problem for Korra's character. Yeah. Mako, this isn't as much of a problem, actually, because a lot of what Mako's been doing is just him being the love interest.
I want to know what I wonder sometimes. So, Mike and Brian went to art school, right? In art school, we do critiques. Where, like, people, like, say what is successful about your work and what isn't. Do they have people who do that on this show? Because sometimes it doesn't seem like they do.
I think that
like,
Cora...
obviously they do, but like I don't think it's enough.
I think Cora's suffering from a lack of a large writer's room and the lack of a... lack of a central Aaron E. Haas figure, even though Mike is taking over this role. I think Mike isn't... probably the major problem with Cora, and I hate to say this because I really do love Mike, is that he isn't very successful in the Aaron role as head writer. He's not even credited as head writer. He's credited as, like, story editor. And it's even though this is just a title, it kind of implies this whole, like, there's not this, you're not turning your script into anyone, and you're not gonna for Avatar, I feel like they went over each script page by page, and they probably still do this, but there's less people in the room, and there's not like a writing specialist there going over it who is the center of the story. Like, Mike kind of is like the writing specialist, but he's just not really succeeding.
I think he just doesn't have the like really forceful personality, you know, for like this sort of job, and he's not as critical. Like, this is a personality thing, and it's not necessarily a flaw. It doesn't make him a bad person. There just needs to be somebody else in the room.
I think it's fair to say that Mike doesn't have this strong, forceful personality. But I think if we're comparing him to Aaron, I don't really know Aaron's personality, so it's hard to say that Aaron was the strong presence and then Mike isn't filling that, because I don't know.
I definitely think there's a problem with not a lot of writers, since...
Yeah, I really think you just don't... I think one of the major flaws with the sexism stuff, there's just not a female writer there.
Yeah, they're all men.
And like, not only they're all men, there's three of them. There's only three people.
It's like, helpful to have fresh eyes on what you're working on. And they can bring in like a different opinion.
I think it's telling that
and help the work.
That Brian, in an interview without Mike recently, said he was asked about Cora's not friendly behavior in the beginning of the season, and he said, yeah, I was surprised about that too, but then when I had it explained to me, it started, like, what was going to happen with her character, like, it started to make sense. Like, I know Brian takes on a lot of hats in the production process, but I think it would be good to have him there as this last guy to look at the stuff and say, this doesn't make sense to me, this does make sense to me, because he is the central creative force behind Cora, but he's not actively involved in the writing.
They need somebody in that role, definitely.
Yeah. I think
Could it be that they got a similar thing going on with what possibly happened with Shyamalan's career? Like, not him. Wrong name. But guy who made Star Wars.
Lucas.
Yeah. Like, no one can say no to him eventually.
That's what I was thinking when you're talking about, because it's like, it sounds like we have a very small group of writers, we have all this and this, and no one wants to be like, hey, this sounds really stupid, why are we doing this? Because everyone's like,
I don't know.
Cora!
It's like, I think you have a point there. I think if Mike is wrong, there's no one of equivalent or similar power level within the Avatar structure, crew structure, to stop him. I think Aaron was that similar power level in Avatar because he was an executive producer. Now the other executive producer is Joaquin, who doesn't work on writing. And Brian also doesn't work on writing. So Mike is the only one there.
Like, we need more people.
I agree. I think just need more. And we're not getting more people, to the best of our knowledge. We are getting another director for both.
Critiques
three.
Make the world go round.
And he's a good director, too.
Yeah, like, we're getting a good Young that. Justice director. But, like, that's not really the problem. I think the direction's been pretty solid.
He did some of the best.
Although I have to say that a lot of the action sequences and stuff like that in Korra, at least in the beginning of the season for Book 2, were pretty bland. So I think it'd be good to have new storyboarding people coming in. Like,
new people. That's not going to happen.
Not like all new people. Just
all the new people.
Obviously this group is talented, but...
They should hire Sam.
Yeah, we should hire Sam, yeah.
Sam and Mel.
I don't work on animation. It's my thing.
I'm telling you should just make statues
just make statues, film them.
Sam is the statue person. Yeah,
yeah. Make Cora claymation, Sam. Like, this is what needs to happen.
Put Mel on writing staff.
Okay,
I will supervise.
Let's talk about Book 2 as a whole, even though we've been doing this. So I'm just moving down on the outline, despite us ignoring the outline. How was?
Remember listening to one of the earlier podcasts. You guys just like talk randomly about nothing.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing now.
Good.
I really do like free flowing conversations. Like, that's one of the strong points of this podcast. Excuse me. I think. And now that you've had more time to think about Book 2 as a whole, even though we haven't rewatched it, I'm gonna have trouble rewatching the beginning of this season, but I will do it.
About other things.
Yeah, there's.
My life doesn't revolve around Korra.
It should, but okay.
I'm not Allie.
True. Allie, who did not respond to our email for this week, that's good. Mel either. But how was book two overall, now that you've had time to think about it, compare it to book one, and let's give it a grade. We did this for book one. We gave it a grade out of on the A scale, like A, A minus, B plus.
Oh, I like this better than numbers. Okay.
Anyway,
I like
the better there's numbers. No baseline, so I'm not going to judge anyone's grades, but let's
see. C is average.
You're not going to judge anyone's, like, you judge us normally, okay.
Well, it's like with the 10 scale we've been using this year, 5 as the average television. Like, that's good. So if we're saying that C is an average television, that's limiting the range, like, a lot.
Okay.
But, so you can do what you want with this. Let's start with Sam.
C minus minus. No, that isn't my actual grade.
Yes.
So we're doing ABC?
Well, compare it to, what do you think about book two overall? What, do you think it's better or worse than book one? And grade it.
Okay. Book two overall, you know, it was a show.
That's accurate.
I mean, I watched it, and
that's also accurate.
It's probably mean to say that it killed time, but like it's a little time.
You weren't passionate about it.
No.
Okay.
It sounds like you're like what I am with the comics.
Yeah. Well, I'm like that with the comics. is comparing season one and season two. I like season one better.
Were you passionate about season one?
Probably at the time, yeah, I was more passionate about season one than I am right now about season two.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, like, as far as passion about season one right now goes, like, sure, I haven't watched it since over the summer, so whatever. And grading, we're doing ABC.
Yeah.
Maybe like a B minus? B minus, that sounds good. That's above average, but still, like,
okay.
You're still on the honor roll.
Still on the honor roll. Okay. Honor roll. Jeff.
So I think it could have benefited from a bit of more exposition at the beginning. Like, hey, viewers, here's what's going on at the South Pole since we last left you. And this would, like, be the history of the South Pole in the last 70 years. Like, it's like, oh, Korra, why did we have your uncle down here? Oh, well, it's because we've always had a unified tribe ever since Aang freed the world, you know, something like that. Instead of making us guess. That would have helped. Overall, well, like, there's the story, and then there's the animation, and there's the characters, but I think in aggregate, I'd say B++.
Nice. Do you remember what you gave book one?
Nope.
Okay.
Does anybody remember?
I remember what I gave book one, but I don't remember
I remember what I did.
Well, it's because Dylan has written down his book of lists somewhere.
I do not have the grades written down, though.
You do.
I do. You don't believe me? I don't.
Don't lie.
I'm not. Why would I lie about
Dylan
this?
Dylan has a notebook where, like, everything he believes is written down in number form. Like, there's a list of everything.
This is factually, like, this so is factually inaccurate, but that's okay.
Like the media that he consumes.
I have a Word document where I post a lot of lists, but that's it. Let's go to Britt.
All right. I gave book one a C, and that was a nice C. I would like to give this season two, two grades. One for the first half and one for the second half, because I feel like they're just two different things. Like, if season two had continued the way it was in the first handful of episodes, if it wasn't for the podcast, I honestly probably would have stopped watching. Like, there was a point around episode 4 or 5 where I just did not care. And I couldn't be made to care. But then this thing happened, and I was like, oh, wait. I like this show. Oh, yeah. So I'd like to give the first half of the season, like, a D, D minus, and the second half of the season, like, a B plus. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Wait, can I change my grade?
Yeah, okay.
I kind of want to give it a C plus now.
What'd you give it before, C minus?
No, B minus.
Oh, you give it a B minus? Yeah, okay.
Because I just remembered how terrible it was.
Okay.
Like, you'd forgotten.
Delaney.
I'm like, honestly, I...
Okay, Britt. Delaney.
Well, kind of what Britt was saying, but my grades are going to be, like, with, like, first, compare book one and book two, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Just overall quality of book two, then compare, then, you know.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, book two, like, sans finale for both seasons, book one was substantially better than book two. I thought, animation-wise, yeah, season two was better. But, like, I thought story-wise and my interest and how passionate I was about it, book one is just, like, amazingly beautiful and just way better than book two. But if we add the finale in there, book two is more coherent and that's not a good word choice, because the first half of book two made no sense. The finale works better with that season, but it was more of an experience to watch that finale, and it just meshed more with its season than the book one finale. And because it's like book one, the season's amazing, then you get to the finale and you're like, what happened? So, I mean, I think, finale-wise, I'd say book two was better, but book, like, as a whole season, book one was better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you grade it?
I wasn't there. I don't think, but I can give, like, book one for me would have been, like, A-.
I meant for book two, but yeah.
Yeah, but I was going to say for comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
Book two, it's like, I don't want to give it a C, so B-. Like, I mean... Like, the first half, like, I kind of was like, Brett, I was like, I don't care. What is wrong with this show? But then, like, we get to, like, episode 5, and it gets okay, and then it's fine. So, like, I really did start to enjoy Korra in the last half of the season, and the finale was a joy to watch. I had a lot of problems with the finale, but it was definitely fun to watch. So, I think those are my grades, and I'll stick to them.
I think, hindsight, you guys are looking at book one as better than it was, but, it was certainly... good. I don't know if we were... I think take it individual episode-wise, and it is pretty
flawed.
I
think it has to do with the villains.
Certainly,
for me, that's what it is.
I mean, we definitely miss him on, but yeah. Book one...
Like,
yes, Steph?
I feel like we need a new metric, like rewatchability for an episode.
Yeah.
Rewatchability.
I like that, yeah.
I don't know what that actually measures, though.
Well,
like,
how much would you enjoy rewatching this a week from now? Like, because honestly, like I rewatched all of Avatar over the summer, and it was awesome. And then I got to Korra, like, I don't feel like rewatching this.
Like, when Dylan's like, rewatch the episode, I'm like, I don't want to rewatch it. Like, Dylan, I just watched it. No,
I don't like rewatching stuff.
For me personally, rewatching isn't always a good indicator of quality. Isn't a good indicator of quality.
Well, that's
quality.
Why I wouldn't be the only one. It's just
yeah. No, that's fair.
Because the finale, I rewatched it today, and man. The animation and the choreography is just beautiful in book two finale, and so like I would rewatch that just so I could watch that.
Fun fact: I've never actually rewatched an episode of my favorite show, The Walking Dead.
Avatar is your favorite show, Sam.
No, it's not.
Shush. Okay.
There are no wars.
There are no other TV shows on.
Yes, there are. Like, when you're grading scale, you dumb.
Okay, if I like to, I want to talk about rewatchability for a minute. Book one of Korra was fairly unrewatchable, largely as a season, episode by episode, pretty much everything except the episode the revelation. I do not want to rewatch. Korra,
and also the winner is for me.
For you, yeah. A lot of I understand and respect the loving the and the winners, 'cause a lot of people,
I skipped when I did my rewatch, and the winner is.
Why?
Because it was like really boring.
Except
for the end.
That's the most contentious episode. I feel like a lot of people have a lot of differing opinions on that.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
I like the voice in the night. If we're talking,
that's
about,
my
like,
favorite
episodes
voice
like
in the night.
Watch.
Oh my god, my
unpopular
favorite.
Unpopular opinion. Spirit of competition.
Oh, go away. No, it's unpopular opinion.
For book two of Korra, I should say that the book one finale I haven't rewatched since the first rewatch.
I don't think I'd rewatch it.
Don't really plan to. For book two of Korra, it's much more rewatchable, only for a certain few episodes. But that's fine because, like, and this is, okay, let's talk about my overall point of quality. Book two is less is worse than book one as a whole. It is less of a cohesive unit, and it contains much more flawed points, specifically episodes 2, 3, and 4, and 5, obviously, because the Delaney, you said it gets better at 5. I need to rewatch 5, even though I don't want to.
Okay, I don't really mean 5. It really
Peacekeepers is just awful. But
around there,
just around that. And episode 1, not that great. The Sting, I think the Sting is actually worse than we say it is, but it's just by comparison, it looks really good.
I think that's the point where it starts to get better.
Yeah,
comparison, it's so much better.
And then we get a hit highs that we haven't hit with Korra before, with Beginning, specifically Beginnings Part 2. And we hit another high for me in A New Spiritual Age, which I'm absolutely in love with that episode.
I know.
Continuing in the finale, I don't think we hit those highs. It's at least exciting. And I don't think the finale is terribly rewatchable, although I would rewatch it more likely than the book one finale. But I think the point overall is that Korra Book 2 is worse than Korra Book 1. I would give it a B. I gave Korra Book 2 a B+. My A to F grading scale is less harsh than my 10 to 0. So it should be noted that. But I think that looking back on Korra, I will rewatch episodes of Book 2. I will think, wow, there's some good episodes, specifically 2 episodes in Book 2 that I really loved. And I don't see that anywhere else in Korra or Korra Book 1. So even though it's of less quality than Book 1, it will have a stronger legacy for me.
Maybe for me, I just got older and more jaded.
Maybe. I mean, it was like 10 years between seasons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Door closing. I don't know who that was, but it was someone.
Probably Britt, who...
Sorry, my dog wanted out.
Were you making food?
No, I walked downstairs and I can't tell people, you can't make food.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm podcasting. That doesn't work. Sorry. I was trying.
Let's get into some of our favorite and least favorite episodes of this book two. I on the forums said, "Hey guys, let's rank all the episodes of book two," and Delaney did it, and that's it. So thanks, guys.
I'm a good little person. I follow orders well.
I was like pretty sure Delaney would do it, and then no one else did.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
That's a good thing.
God, Delaney.
I have more faith in you than the other ghosts to do stuff.
I couldn't remember my password.
That's sad. Write them down.
Oh my goodness,
really?
Britt, come on. Okay. Let's go over me and Delaney's list, and then all of you can chime in. I like that episode
put
too.
On the list.
I have it up on the forums. Okay. So
it's in my notebook.
Delaney's here, number one episode was Beginnings Part 2.
I'll be fair, Beginnings Part 2 and Beginnings Part 1 for me are like kind of inter. I think I rank Beginnings Part 2 higher. I don't know.
You went Beginnings Part 2, then Beginnings Part 1. I see. I think there's a large quality difference between the two episodes, but they're so interrelated, it's hard to separate them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like as a favorite. Yes.
Question. Does your favorite, just like the episode you like the best, have to be the highest in quality? Or
no, not necessarily.
Like, okay.
All
yeah,
I did
my
was
list
say,
is like my favorite list.
All I did was say rank. Yeah, you could take that either way. You could say favorite or quality.
Like, I could agree that quality-wise, like, some of my ranking is horrible. Okay. But, like, for my personal enjoyment, that's what my list is about.
Yeah, for me, my number one is highest quality and highest and favorite. Because
Dylan is special.
A new spiritual age. Delaney didn't like it as much, apparently, on our list. But we will go. This is one of our talking points for the December podcast.
I'm not good at ranking things because I have like 3 favorites that I just don't care.
No,
about
I welcome differing opinions on A New Spiritual Age because I think there's flaw. This is a flawed episode of television. But for me, this hits just highs in terms of just pure just joy that I had watching this episode. I haven't experienced since Avatar.
I think that's where mine fixed. Like I kind of fluctuated between enjoyment and because like. I love, like, there, I mean, I was in the floor, we talked about this, I was in the floor during that episode, but, and then I kind of got into, like, but the rest of the episode is, like, eh.
Okay, so I've seen this episode 4 or 5 times now, which is very rare for a Korra episode. I would say that the last 2 minutes of this episode are highly flawed and written very stalely, but the first 19 minutes are incredible, and it doesn't undo it for me. Like, it seems like the end of the episode is more. I think it's actually 3 minutes, but I think the end of the episode seems longer than it is, but it's actually only 3 minutes of the episode, and even that 3 minutes is quality animation and stuff. We're gonna, so I guess spoilers for our future podcast that we're gonna go over at the end of the podcast, but
spoilers.
2 weeks from now we're gonna be doing a commentary track to A New Spiritual Age, yes. Which I think will be interesting. We this is like
this is an
experiment. Like, we did this for the movie that shall not be named, and we're gonna, I want to talk about A New Spiritual Age again because I love this so much, and I think this is a good time to do a new commentary track. So I'm gonna go over.
Do what you want.
Yeah, we're gonna do. I mean, I'm gonna pick this topic. We're gonna do. We might do like a shipping podcast, but I don't know. Like, I wouldn't want to do that, but we might do it anyway. So there's just scenes in this episode which just are incredible. And just the first act, specifically my favorite scene in the episode is Janora meeting Furryfoot in the spirit world. Nothing happens in that scene, but just the pure emotion that goes through her. Just the animation is incredible. The storyboarding is incredible. And it's just expanding this character that there was a nothing character before, and just giving her substantiality. All in the span of like 20 seconds and several frames of animation. It's just so good, and I'll point this out when we do like track on it. I don't know, I'm so in love with this episode, and it's just, it's so rare for me to be this passionate about Korra, which is, I mean, I think I'm passionate about Korra overall, but specific episodes don't get me that excited when I'm done watching them as this one did.
That's how I was with Beginnings. I know, like, in general, people like Beginnings, but I'm like, I really, 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 really loved Beginnings just because, like, we got Lion Turtles. There were like 12 Lion Turtles.
Yeah, for me, two episodes stand out this season: A New Spiritual Age and Beginnings Part 2. And Beginnings is really good.
And the animation, yeah. and just, I love creation stories. I'm the biggest mythology nerd, so you get me a creation story, and I just have crazy nonsense. Like, I'm just like, what? I'm not coherent anymore.
I think Beginnings is like a highly flawed creation myth, but
yes.
But
I
it's,
mean, with creation,
aren't they supposed to be
flawed?
So ignoring that they're supposed to be not very general and not like logical in terms of a creation myth, Beginnings. So in terms of creation myth, Beginnings is fine. If you take in Avatar in consideration, Beginnings is like this flawed beginning,
yes.
Hot beginning, but it's just, it's not necessarily the best thing to start off the world, no. But it's just such good, everything, right? I think the writing in the second part is really good. Like, I think Tim did this, and I think Tim also did New Spiritual Age, like Tim Hedrick. Like, he wrote, these are the two quality episodes, and it really shows when the writing shines through. And it's just the Studio Mirror's animation in Beginnings is so good. I think it hits highs that we maybe won't see again in American animation television. Like,
yes,
that's definitely how good it is. In terms of other episodes that I thought were really strong but don't hit as high as Beginnings Part 2 and A New Spiritual Age, I thought Light in the Dark, the second episode of the finale, was very strong and my third
favorite
episode.
Did I write that up there high too?
You had that in the middle of the pack.
Okay.
I remember on the podcast you did say you like Darkness Falls better than Light in the Dark, which you didn't do in the rankings.
I didn't do in the rankings.
You did do that in the rankings.
Okay. I can't remember what I say on the podcast. And then, like, I'm sorry, like, because the episode names make no sense, I'm like, I don't remember what happened in this episode because, like, this name makes no sense.
Yeah, well, nothing is says that better than Night of a Thousand Stars.
Stars. Oh, my God.
Which is, I think, the first episode name that has just nothing to do with the episode.
Night of a Thousand Stars. Hello, that's the Light in the Dark. Never mind.
Are you saying? Oh, you're saying the star is like the light in the dark?
Because what happens when it gets dark outside? The stars come out. I got it.
You know what?
I don't think that's what they're. I don't know if that's what they're going for.
It makes sense to me because, you know, it's a movie premiere, right?
Yeah.
Thousand stars, movie premiere.
Okay,
stars,
I got that part.
Celebrity.
Too. Like, I got that.
There's two stars. There are only two people in the movie.
You know what? My point is, I can remember that's that episode. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I thought that too, but I was just like. And I did like that one, I did rank that up because it's the whole because Mako's, like, plot, like, finally comes to an end. And I'm a Scooby-Doo freak, so, like, mysteries, let's go.
I would say that Light in the Dark, which is the last episode of the season, I think is overall successful, despite giant Korra's cosmic spirit fighting Unavatu, which I have no interest
it
in.
It should have been named the new spiritual age.
But the sad part, yeah, if they had been fighting in the bay, I might have been able to deal with it, but they're fighting in the bay, and I'm just like, I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. It's Godzilla.
Yeah.
I think they could have been fighting anywhere else.
Other episodes that were high quality this season for me, number four, I'd rank The Sting. I'm not sure what I'll think of when I rewatch The Sting, but I remember a lot of good things about it.
For me, it's the Scooby-Doo freakness that I am, and I'm just like, Scooby-Doo mysteries and Mako being a detective is awesome.
Like, The Sting is my favorite episode. I'm not saying it's the best episode. There are things wrong with it that make me unhappy, but like, overall, I think it's this episode that I enjoy the most watching. Like, I've actually rewatched it.
You can have a favorite and then appreciate that another episode's of higher quality, but it's just not your favorite. Because, like, you like different things. Yeah, it's just like... So it's fine.
I enjoy seeing Mako and Asami interact when they're not being, like, mean or bad to each other. I like their friendship. Is that weird? Yeah, it's probably weird. That's okay. I accept it's imperfect. I think I like that I got to see two characters interact solely, and it was a singularized plot, and they slowed down, and not like a whole lot happened, and I got to see characters be characters.
I think The Sting is kind of like the revelation episode for Mako and Asami.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah,
it's mostly just them interacting the whole episode, and it's good.
Which makes sense as to why you like it so much.
Because it's like,
Like Asami. Like, I honestly, she's my favorite. She and Bolin. Not so much this season, but overall.
Oh, Bolin.
Bolin this season. Okay, we're not even going to talk about it. We all know how I feel. But Asami is, like, one of my favorite characters all time of television, and I liked seeing her show an emotional range, and that's what I like. You got to see characters be emotional. And this was the episode that made me like Mako, so...
See, I want to say that Asami's one of my favorite characters of all time, but she just isn't there. Like,
yeah,
it's hard
the season,
to, it's hard to name her as, this is also true of Jinora, even though she, like, gets increased screen time. Like, my two favorite characters just aren't there, like, the entire time, right?
Exactly. Lynn becomes only a plot device,
yeah.
Like Jinora, except in a less epic way. I'm using air quotes for epic. Like, I love Lynn. She's my favorite, and she's just complaining at Mako the whole season.
Yeah. Other episodes I don't know if I really liked, but Night of a Thousand Stars I thought was pretty good. Beginnings Part 1 I thought was good. Harmonic Convergence I thought was good. And then Darkness Falls I thought was overall good, despite being a highly flawed episode.
The Sting was 3 for me, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah. I just found my list.
So Delaney, you have The Sting, Harmonic Convergence, Darkness Falls, Light in the Dark, A New Spirit.
I'm still not
age.
Sure how I feel about Harmonic Convergence being above Darkness Falls, but I did this in, like, 5 minutes, and I'm just not good at ranking. Like, after 3, I just don't care.
You must become good at ranking. It is a highly valuable skill.
I know. But, like... I don't know, like, because my thing, once again, is the names. Like, I'm like, I had to keep wikiing which episodes they were, because, like, their names don't make any sense.
Yeah,
and
no.
I'm like, I don't know what
I
this episode is.
I think
Brian
are bad
about.
At many things.
A voice in the night. Like, come on, that's so
that
good.
That's the best, good one.
Okay, and since it didn't have white points.
Episodes that I thought were average are The Guide and Rebel Spirit.
Well, The Guide's at the bottom of my list, but... Well, near the bottom.
It's mine too, but yeah. The Guide and Rebel Spirit I thought were fine. Yeah. Like,
what
and I don't.
What episodes were those?
The Guide, yeah, who even remembers, right? Okay, then I thought the absolute dregs of this season were episodes 2 to 5.
Same, except mine was 1 to 5, because I was like, Rebel Spirit's horrible.
I think Rebel Spirit's better than we remember. A little bit.
Probably.
A little bit. Civil Wars Part 1.
I'm so tired of the South Pole that we hate everything that has to do with it now.
Yes. Rebel Spirit, I remember what happened. Southern Lights, I also remember what happened. She opens the portal. Civil Wars Part 1 and 2, I just have barely any recollection.
Like, I don't even care, because it's like, it doesn't matter.
Even after reading the Wikipedia descriptions, I still don't know what happened.
Exactly. Same. I read them, and I'm like, I still don't know what went on in this episode.
It
just sort of meshed together, you know, and I hate to say that, because I want to be, like, I think it's important to know what happens, like, episode by episode. But I feel like those episodes... They could have been handled better. Like, I feel like Mike and Brian don't, or like, not Mike, maybe necessarily Brian, because he just makes art.
Yeah, whatever you're saying, if it's cutting out, I don't know. But yeah, it's I don't know, for those episodes. Mike wrote both of them. It's hard to think what is good about them. I don't know. I don't remember. I know Cora threatened the judge in Naga's head.
Yeah, and that was crazy.
And it's like, your parents are arrested. Okay, I guess I do remember what happened, but it wasn't very good. The Southern Lights is one that I probably graded like a 7 at the time, and I highly regret that, because that is looking...
that's me the whole season. Like, I regret giving it that grade.
Looking back on it, that's just just not a good episode. No, we didn't hear the end of what you said.
Sorry, I'm like, got the phone, you know, and sometimes I press it too close to my face and I hit the end call button. This happened like 4 times. Okay.
You get too excited and you're just like, I gotta talk, and you slam the phone against your face and the call ends.
Like a target.
Peacekeepers for me, I need to rewatch it, but I did not like it. It's a low point of the entire series for me.
Yes.
And Delaney, we disagree, I guess, on the order, but yeah, I think
in general we agree for the most part. It's just we have different favorites.
Sam and Britt, what's your favorite episode this season?
Go, Sam.
No.
No.
Just no.
I don't care is not an option for this question.
It is.
You have to have a favorite.
Don't have a favorite.
Britt, like, what's your favorite?
My children.
You said no. You said the sting. Yeah.
Yeah, I said the sting is my favorite.
Okay, what's your least favorite?
Anything that happened before episode 4, probably episode, I want to say Rebel Spirit. I like Rebel Spirit, okay.
Believe it or not. Episodes 1 through 5 are my least favorite, so you can make it up, dude, if you just want to, like, so many episodes you just don't care
no,
about.
No, like, name the episode together. Names off, because I think I can remember, probably episode 4, 3 or 4, I was like,
That's the Civil Wars, right?
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. I just...
Sam, what's your favorite?
Like, I wanted to
I don't
like
have
them.
A favorite.
Sam, what's your favorite?
Shut up.
Sam, what's your least favorite?
Which episode did you tolerate the best?
Okay, and Jeff is on BRB, so we can't ask him.
Everybody hates me because I don't like Cora.
You do like Cora. You just aren't passionate about it, which I think is understandable.
Is fine.
I think it's understandable.
It's especially this season. It's completely understandable not to be passionate about Cora this season.
Although I think it did. I was passionate for at least 2 episodes. So that's
yes. Cool. Same. Beginnings. Yeah. I was on the edge of my seat. And then, I'll be fair, A New Spiritual Age, though I ranked it in the middle, because like what I'd said before, I mean, my mom was like, what's wrong with you? Because I'm making weird noises and I'm in the floor. And then my mom got excited about it. So clearly it was a good episode, because my mom's like, oh my God.
When we do the commentary for that episode, I'll try to convince you on it.
Steve Young was in Beginnings. That's good.
He was in Beginnings. Okay, so Steve Young is your favorite. Okay.
And Juan is attractively animated, for the record.
Great.
I just care about Steve Young.
Okay. Cool. Send us. This is a thread on the forums. You too can rank these episodes, even though I know you don't want to. You co-host and you audience.
If I can do it, do it.
Well, I guess
it can be done.
You do everything.
Let's get into...
It's because I'm an overachiever and it's compulsive. I can't help it.
Sure.
If it was a choice, I would.
Matt sent us 3 things. First, he sent us a voicemail. Ooh, how is this going to work?
No, Matt.
Let's see if voicemail works, because I'm using a different... If you couldn't tell, I apologize for my worst quality today, but I left my usual recording thing at school. So let's see if you guys can hear this. That's what we're going to go for.
Is that it shows him completely 100% when letting go of Itara, and so he's able to go into the Avatar spirit at will. In the end, towards the ending of it, it shows him going into the Avatar spirit and Avatar world at will. That kind of confused me, because he never lets go of Katara after the season 2 finale. If anything, he clings on to her more, not less, especially as we see in the series finale. So, I was just wondering if you guys had any theories on how that is. So,
Okay, yeah, I cut off the beginning to that, which is why it seemed confusing.
No, I think you're going to have to...
I heard it, if you want me to...
I heard it, but I didn't understand it at all, if that makes any
sense. He's talking about, like, book 1 finale and, like, Katara ironing.
He's talking about the Avatar, not Korra. So.
Yeah, well, like, Avatar... I said Korra, didn't I? I meant Avatar and Katara. Yeah. Anyways, he's talking about Aang and Katara and, like, go over her. What my opinion is, he stopped using her and is, like, a crutch, you know, like he had emotional attachment to her and he needed her, you know, and he stopped having that crutch need. Like sometimes when you rely on people, they become a bit of a crutch, and it was, I don't know if it was like bad. It was just something that he did as like a child, like emotional relationship. And at the end of, in the finale, he lets go of that sort of crutch and he stands on his own as a person. You know, like sort of what Cora did, it does at the end of the finale for this episode, when she lets go of Mako, is she lets go of the crutch. Like, she doesn't need Mako anymore, I would argue. And I think she was using him as sort of an emotional crutch, and now she's free of that. She's, and now okay, because that's, she's that's, not using him as a crutch anymore, she can have, like, an actual emotional relationship.
I like the comparison. I think yes. He's asking just about Avatar, but yeah, I do like that comparison. Like, I think it's interesting.
I think the difference though is that like Katara was actually Aang's like legitimate crutch because like he was completely out of control in the Avatar state, but like with Korra it's completely emotional. Like she really doesn't need Mako at all. Does that make sense? Like it's kind of like Aang really needed Katara more than
just in terms of Mako. His question. I don't think it makes sense what happened. So
yes, yeah,
like,
I agree.
Would not know unless
like Aang it like, goes into the spirit world. It doesn't make sense. Not the spirit world, the Avatar state. And he's doing so without having given up on Katara. I agree. And he's theoretically he's circumventing the Guru's system somehow.
And it didn't make any sense.
Like they didn't explain it. Like that's what I got from like years of analyzation.
And now
it
still doesn't
really
make
want
sense.
Like just a sit down with them, say, hey, here's these questions. How could Korra do this? How could Aang do that?
And yeah. I'm convinced at this point that
like an Avatar Book of Secrets, like that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm convinced at this point that they would not give satisfactory answers. Yes, like when we've seen them answering like questions like this, like Mike on his blog post just now about like what happened here. He's like, my interpretation is that Korra is doing this Hindu concept and taking her energy inside her. It's like there isn't an explanation.
Yeah, like
that
makes sense. Like they're just writing and then
happened for the sake of the story instead of
They don't actually
story
it's like from a philosophical or cool standpoint and not necessarily a logical standpoint.
They got it back to front.
Yeah. Like just the fact that he says that he's like my interpretation of it is like you're
No, I like that. I do. I love that he says that because the things that Dylan has said 1,000 times on the podcast. If you don't put it in the show, it doesn't count. So I agree. Anything he says is just an interpretation because he didn't put it in the show. But
Fair enough.
I like that phrasing, but at the same time, he didn't give a good answer.
But
so.
like for me though, it's like I mean, I get like I like having my own interpretations of it, but at the same time, like I want to know that there's an answer out there, like that they actually had something in mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no,
like,
I agree.
Want there to be an answer, like there. You know, and if we don't ever learn that answer, that's fine. But like what that tells me is that there isn't an answer, and that. Bugs the crap out of me that there isn't an answer.
I don't think there's an answer. I also don't think there's an answer to the rock and back Aang.
It's
just the dumbest thing. Even, like
it is.
Okay, Matt also asked. He emailed.
like, I hate to break it to you, but from like, no offense, but your rock cannot like his wound bothers me so much.
Dude, magical rock. Okay, like don't even.
His wound in his bag should have left him completely paralyzed. Like, how did that? He looks like he's missing a vertebrae.
Spirit
like,
water. He's... Magic. Spirit water.
A lot of the things he's ever done.
He's the Avatar. His bones are made out of titanium, okay, Brent?
Obviously, yeah. Okay.
It doesn't matter if they're titanium. We can give you fake ones, but, like, his doesn't exist. Bad. He's missing. You can't walk if you're missing a vertebrae.
Okay.
Well, didn't you see Batman? Position. I mean, they just punched him right good, so.
True. I want a physician to look at Avatar and just tell us every single medical flaw there is, how many bones should be broken.
Should be a tumbler.
Yes.
I should totally do that.
Yes, let's do that. Okay.
Can I? Would anybody follow me?
Yes, I would follow you.
I'd follow you.
Matt also asked on email, are there any theories to who Aang's parents are? I think this is a question like...
I feel like we've been asked that a lot.
Yeah. I want to say this is a noob question, but like that's demeaning. Like
it's like the Giver. We have answered this. I remember saying that.
It's not his parents aren't relevant, and
like we don't know his parents, so there's no way for us to be like this is who his parents are. We'll never know.
Yeah, but I think the overall point is that
they're just kind of random.
They're just random people, and they're not really relevant, and we never saw parents in their nomad culture be relevant.
Well, my thing is, I'm just curious as to, like, what people mean when they say who. Like, do you think we've met them? Because we haven't.
Well, like, also are they monks or not? We never saw any people.
Well, they're
nomads.
Either monks or nomads, and that's it. Like, that's
Did we ever see any air nomads that are not monks?
I don't think we have.
No.
Or,
so,
like, none.
Well, here's the thing for me is, like, because I think we've talked about this before when we're talking about the Avatar world, how, like, there's the temples and they're monks and nuns.
Yeah.
Well, they're called the air nomads. So either they're just nomadic between the temples or there's actually air nomads out there.
Yeah, so
who move about? That might be true. Like,
I think that's
one
of the biggest flaws. Like, a lot of people theorize that they're just like
they're
just there throughout the world, right? But we don't know.
Well, I just feel like it has to. Like, otherwise, they're just called the nomads for no reason.
Learning more about Tibetan culture this semester, which I did in school, I think the air nomads are largely based off of Tibetans, and it should be noted that Tibetan monks are celibate. So, Avatar monks. The air nomads and stuff are not necessarily celibate. Like, we never learn about that. But it should be noted that the people that they're probably based off of are. So I don't know how if that plays into it or not.
When they say monk or nun, that implies celibacy. It's especially since
not all monks or nuns are celibate in Buddhism.
But the fact that they're separated kind of implies that they're.
I agree that separation does. Although
my theory is that the people who stay in the temples are the monks and the nuns, and that there's, in theory, people who travel around.
Yes, that's what I would say. Like, I think, like, everyone's raised at the temple, but then you can choose to become a monk or a nun, or you leave.
Yeah, I don't see evidence of that,
We haven't seen it anywhere.
Yeah. It doesn't even enter my mind.
But in answer to your question, what's his name? Matt? Is that what it was?
Matt.
Or did I just make
Matt.
It up?
No, Matt, yeah.
It was Matt. Okay, I'm so... Oh, woo, good job, lady. We don't know, because, like, there's no way to know, because, like, it's not really, like... They're just random air nomads, and we've never met them before, and they're dead. So.
And just us discussing all these basic tenets of air nomad culture that we don't know, how are we supposed to know Aang's specific parents when we know nothing about this culture?
It's an aspect that's missing in there. We'll,
yeah, I don't know.
We know little fun facts about the air nomads, and that's it. We don't know anything else.
Yeah, which I think is fine. Like, I don't think that's a flaw. It's just, like, we just don't know, right?
There's no way for them to, like, tell it to us.
And it kind of goes into how, like, it was that there a genocide occurred. It makes sense that we don't know a lot.
Yeah, I think that might have been kind of.
And that Aang was a child, and he's the sole survivor. He wouldn't know a lot. Like, he was growing up. Like, he was learning the culture himself.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, going back to something I said about how they're nomads based on Tibetans. Interesting thing is that, you could say the Fire Nation are the Chinese who then invaded Tibet in 1959. Aang in 302 says. Air nomads didn't have a formal military. The Tibetans actually did have a military. So it's like you see interesting parallels there, although their military was not
there's
anything
definitely
substantial.
Historical parallels.
But yeah, it's certainly you think of the Chinese invading Tibet when you think of Fire Nation invading, going to the air nomads, but they do differ in a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
Matt, the third thing Matt asked was, am I the only one that the whole Jinora being the main guide for Korra plot point came out of nowhere at all? So I think this is more of a question about the guide, and not necessarily her deus ex machina at the end. I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us were like, this makes a lot of sense. We just wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
I saw it.
The
only person I like saw it sort of like bookwad. I didn't say anything because it was like ridiculous then, because you see her like meditating and they make like a big point out of it. And I was like, she's totes going to be important.
Her being important, but her being like an important spiritual guide to Korra. That more of that point.
Yeah, that
I saw
came
that
out
like
field.
Maybe not to Korra, but being important spiritually, yeah.
Okay,
but
I didn't think it came
out of like left field. I thought it was like kind of logical.
Well, we would have to hope that one of Tenzin's children would be spiritual, because otherwise, how would this move on? Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, I don't think we just saw basically any evidence of it.
But we never would have thought about it until this happened.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it. They haven't shown anything.
Also, how old are Tenzin's children? I think, Milo's like 2, Roland is 0.
Milo's 5.
Milo's 5.
Milo's 5.
Yeah.
Roland is 0.
Iki's 7, I think.
Yeah, she's 7. Yeah. And then Jinora's 10.
Yeah. Although they all might be a year older, because 6 months have passed.
Yeah,
since... And presumably more than that, since 6 months passed since the beginning of Book 2, unknown amount of time passed since the beginning of Book 2 to the end of Book 2. So we don't really know. And another thing that came out of the interview is that Book 3 takes only a couple of weeks after takes place a couple of weeks after book
two. What do you think? Okay, they kept talking about harmonic convergence. Did they ever actually say when harmonic convergence? Oh, it's every 10,000 years, but like, is there something like, I'm done, I'm tired, leave me alone, I'm done.
Duh, 10,000.
You know, I'm
saw the planets align. Yeah. Also known as, that has an, like, an actual
is
thing
that,
in
is
my
there
goodness.
Like, specific, like, I meant like.
The old lady Fire Nation said, it's only a few weeks from now in the beginning. So
like, my thing
it.
Is, who's keeping that 10,000-year-old calendar? Like, who's figuring this out?
Yeah, I don't know.
Clearly, old Fire Nation lady in the pool of magic.
Like, is it exactly 10,000 years? Like, what is it? Because yeah. My thing is, like, in Avatar, like, everything was about the solstices and Aang and stuff. But in Korra, it's like, we have no idea what time it is ever, and the seasons don't even make sense in Avatar anymore. So it's like, we don't know when
it
is.
It could be, like, where the Earth is, and it's, like, revolution with the planets. Because, like, I think we hit, like, a high point in, like, because, like, Earth doesn't just, like, move, like, in an elliptical pattern, like, linearly. It also moves vertically, you know, like, up and down.
Like, I get the science, though. I think it's just with the Avatar world, we've proven that the Avatar world is not like Earth, so.
Jeff?
I mean, it's like Earth, it's not Earth.
Yeah, I had this awesome theory because when we see that it's the shots in space, but all the planets lining up, the sun is absolutely huge. Now,
yes.
Obviously that's an artistic representation, but I thought, let's just be fun and interpret it as for real. So that means the sun is in some, like, expansion phase of becoming a red dwarf, or, like, a red giant or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But then I realized, oh, wait, we've seen the sun in the show, and it's normal size, so nope, no fun.
No fun.
Yeah.
But the sun is, like, massive compared to planets, so are they going to that, or...
But when we're looking at harmonic convergence, what distance is the Avatar world from the sun? Because that would
We have no idea, because it was just probably wonked.
Because that's what I'm talking about, is that, like, you could still be right, because, like, we're only the third planet from the sun. In the Avatar world, they could be, like, the seventh planet, and that would make it smaller than how big it is to... Does that make sense?
So, so the shot we saw did not include the Earth, is what you mean?
Well,
no,
she
was asking more than
because the shot we got, all those planets were like way too close to the sun. They'd probably burn up.
Like, yeah, saying like, I still think your idea has merit, because like we don't know where in their system that Earth air quotes lies. So if they're farther away, the sun would look smaller than it does to us. Like that's why it could be comparable.
It could be. It's just like. I don't know enough astrophysics.
Because, like, yeah, if there's red giant with our sun,
to be survivable distance,
yeah.
If it even exists with a red giant. But the other thing I wanted to say is, like, I'm never going to get over how bad of a title harmonic convergence is. It's just, like, three
they
syllables.
They probably named the cat that.
They could just say it's convergence, and then it's got an air of mysticism about it, and...
Dude, is better better or worse than Republic City?
Well, that's
fair enough.
Is that a bad name?
They're too literal. Like, it's ridiculous.
Just them naming things.
It's bad.
I just like to imagine like what their cats and dogs' names are.
Yeah, it's harmonic convergence.
Guys,
yeah.
I walked downstairs. My dog ate my sandwich.
Aww. I'm sorry, Britt.
At least the dog
sorry, but it's revolution.
Jeff, since you're back, what was your favorite and least favorite episode of Book Two?
Well, I think I really liked the two episodes preceding the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Those were, like, my favorite for, like, development.
Night of a Thousand Stars and Harmonic Convergence.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, so plot development and action. Those are exceptional. Animation quality, the first half of the finale, just phenomenal. Just in every way. It's amazing. Oh, and also, the amazing colors. I just realized, I was rewatching today, and like at the very end, when Korra saved the day and Harmonic Convergence is over, the colors that show up in that spirit field are just incredible. Just
the
so
spirit world sky is like insane, the colors.
Yeah. So it was very well done. So all that.
Cool.
Least favorite is basically anything that's like a blur, which precludes me actually naming it, so... I think your range 2 to 4 is a good one.
Yeah, that seems to be everybody. Everyone's just like, eh.
2 to 5 for me, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, pretty much agree. Not as crazy, I guess. Yeah, we went over that about those two, but the beginning of this season. What could have been, I guess.
Yeah, what could have been?
Hopefully we'll get a consistent season next one that hits the highs that this one did while being consistency
like
of book
stride,
one.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's sad it took them 2 seasons to hit their stride, but I think they're hitting it.
It's better than never.
I don't know. I would like to think they're hitting their stride. I think we've seen evidence of that,
I guess.
Since
they're carrying over, I think it'll be better because as opposed to they were kind of starting from scratch, really, for season two.
Yeah.
So since there's a carryover, I feel like they'll feel more relaxed. And we don't need an exposition, really, because it all happened last season. As opposed to this season, they're like, all this stuff happened and we have to shove it to you. And it's like all this weird pacing that makes no sense. And it's like, oh my god, like, where did all the time go?
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to next season without the expectation that it'll be significantly better, I would say. So, like,
that's why I liked season two more than the rest of you. I didn't have high expectations. I didn't have any expectations, like, at all. I was just like, hey, it'll come to me and I will feel things.
I'm just expecting less craziness. Like, I'm just expecting less pacing issues and I'll be fine.
Hopefully. Yeah, any wrapping up thoughts on book two or looking forward to book three?
They better fix... Okay, I have an expectation. They have to fix the Avatar, the past lives. I'm going to be mad.
I saw you discussing this with, I forget the person's name on the forums, but...
I'll be that guy, perhaps?
Yeah, I think so. And it was like, I'm so glad Delaney voiced that opinion. I'm glad that we have a diversity of opinions here. Like, there's a lot of stuff that people say that I'm like, okay, I don't really care about this, but like, I'm glad that you guys are saying this. I still don't really understand the past lives thing.
Like, you don't understand being upset about it, or just why it happened in general?
The reaction to it. It's not that I don't understand your reaction to it. I think it's an understandable reaction. I just don't have the same reaction.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Just like, I liked the new spiritual age, but it's just like, it's fine. We don't have to agree.
I will convince you on that, though. when we do the commentary. Yes.
I mean, it's not like I dislike the episode. It's just not like...
must be loved unconditionally.
Okay, Dylan.
Okay. Any other... No, thank you. Not... Any other wrapping up thoughts on book two or looking forward to book three?
I hope I care more about book
three.
Hope you care. Bolin, yeah. It's not terrible.
It's like, we were like, let's have, I hope Bolin actually has a role, and then he had a bad role.
And then it was like, gosh darn it.
I mean, I like that they broke his character so they could fix his character. I'm not sure.
They broke him so they could fix him.
Know what I mean? Like, if you have a hero and you need to, like, hero's journey is, you know, you have to have a journey, you have to,
sometimes get broken or go to a dark place. Sometimes you have to break a bone to, like, make it reset better.
Yeah. There you go.
That's what I'm waiting for with Korra. This is why I do not like Korra. They need to destroy her. And then,
I like the way you said that.
Anyways, so I'm like, I'm okay with that. Like, he went to a dark place, but he was supposed to go there. So I'm okay with that storyline, even if I'm not okay with him.
What's funny?
That's Sam, your voice when you say that.
It was
pretty great.
Me?
Sam. Sometimes.
Everything Sam says is hilarious.
Okay, Dylan, we were all there anyway.
Jeff, any
if
last
only
thoughts?
Everybody else thought I was as funny as them.
People do think you're that funny.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Jeff, you write your iTunes reviews?
Jeff, any last thoughts?
No, keep talking. It's fun.
No, we're talking about nothing.
I have thoughts, but...
Britt, any last thoughts?
A book.
Oh!
I have a book.
Oh.
I have a book.
For you listeners of the From the Spirit World podcast, we have an every audiobook download for just reaching out to service. audibletrial.com/FTSW. Delaney, quickly mention what book you have.
Enclave by Anne Aguirre. I probably didn't say that right. Anyway, it's like Divergent. If you've read Divergent, it has like this really dark, twisted sibling, and that's what this is. So post-apocalyptic, of course. Yes, Sam.
I'm sick of this genre and all the.
I know, but I promise this is good.
Oh my god, delay you read something else, please.
It's not my fault. I don't even do it on purpose. I just pick it up and I'm kind of tired of it, but it's good. Books.
All the young adult novels are post-apocalyptic.
Stop it.
Now.
It is. I can't help it.
Except
anyway,
for,
like
except for Shadow and Bone, which we.
True. Shadow Bone's the best. Oh my god. Anyway, okay, but Fry Fangirl. Okay. Yeah. Enclave. Is it Enclave or Enclave? Anyway, it doesn't matter. My mom corrected me and got really huffy about it. So. These post-apocalyptic, these people live underground. It's the sewers of, I won't spoil the rest. So they live underground. You're born and you train to either become a breeder, a builder, or a hunter. I just smashed everything on my desk. Sorry. A breeder, a builder, or a hunter or huntress.
You train to be a breeder.
Okay, there's nothing. The breeders are the people who are the most intelligent or most attractive. So if you don't have any other skills, you're a breeder, pretty much. Unless you're dumb, then you don't get to be a breeder. And then they just kill you. Like they just kill you.
I don't think attractiveness is a skill.
No, but it is. But they like it. Just I'm just telling
they
you.
They want
what the
their population to be beautiful. Okay.
Okay, we don't need to discuss the book this much.
Anyway, so like it's about this girl and like she's a huntress and she's earning her and people are scarred. They have scars and like there's a special naming ceremony. Like you're not an adult until you've been named. Like
wow,
the way they name
like
is really interesting. Yes. What's
like
it sound like? Yes, it's a really dark, twisted version of that. Yes, it's crazy. Good. Like, it's really dark, and it takes a while to get through, which is, like, it's not like it's badly written. It's just, like, there's a lot of stuff you gotta swim through.
But, how long is it?
It's not very, I don't have it on my desk. It's, like, 300,
Destiny.
It was, like, 250-something pages, 300-something pages.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Like I finished it like 2 nights ago. Shut up, Dylan.
Anyway. That's an acceptable length.
And then
laughing
was,
at Sam.
It was pretty good, and I'm on the second one now. Like it's really interesting, and like what's interesting about it is just like with the way the character is written, and just like the society is just like you're like what is this, and it doesn't make any sense. But
do you know when this book was written?
No.
Why,
it's
why
it's
is
new-ish.
This relevant anyway? Thank
it's
you.
New-ish.
I need to know.
Well, my thing is about this book is just that you're uncovering, like, the way things are revealed to you is really neat. So that's why I really, it's really an experience to read the book as things are revealed to you.
Well, I'm finding out when this was
okay,
written.
So once again, it's Enclave by who?
Anne Aguirre.
You can check that out at audibletrial.com/FTSW, free audiobook download. One of you actually
and
did
actually
a, one of you actually did this recently. Thank you.
We love you. Good job.
It was published in 2012. Okay.
Great. Okay. Wrapping up. I think we're done.
To see Varric again.
Oh, yeah, Varric. Yeah, bring Varric back.
Yeah.
I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Jeff, Sam, Delaney, Britt. I produce, edit, host the podcast. I already said that part. Created also by AJ. Tongue Crutchers, AJ, Kevin, Jeff. Music credits, the Yoshida Brothers, Jeremy Zuckerman, Luke Tripp. Logo and banner by Kevin. Tongue Fang Zone by Jake. Contributors of the podcast, Garrett, Sierra, and Nick.
G-Man,
Sierra Mist.
And Nick and Knight.
Right. If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider donating to From the Spirit World. All donations and getting a cool nickname. All donations go directly to supporting our podcast. You can donate by going to dongwufeng.net/podcast and clicking on donate at the top. You can also on the podcast page, you can check out our bios. I think we said this before, but Mel's bio has been rewritten by Sam.
It's pretty great.
100% more awesome.
A couple of weeks ago.
Sam, can you write mine? Like, can you
oh,
rewrite
sure.
No, Sam cannot write everyone's bio.
Yes, she can.
No.
I'll write the ladies.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. There's something else I want to say. Oh, yeah. Oh, two things I want to say. First of all, in 1 to 2 weeks, I'm actually going to have a book recommendation. This is like crazy. Anyway, I'm actually reading
a book
because I'm reading it. Reading, not read.
I was going to recommend today Catching Fire because of the movie.
Oh,
but
yeah. But we've done that.
We probably have
times,
done
yeah.
that.
Future podcasts. This podcast counts for this week. So basically, if we're going by Fridays, this podcast is the podcast for November 29th. Next week, or seemingly 2 weeks from now, December 6th, we will be reviewing The Search Part 3. December 13th, we will be doing a commentary track for A New Spiritual Age. And then it's up in the air for the 2 weeks after that, but we will still be having weekly podcasts. If you would like us to discuss something, email about it, post on the forums, you know.
Why are we doing all the fun podcasts?
When are we doing the what?
Why are we doing all the fun podcasts?
The fun podcasts?
Yeah.
Like what?
commentary is fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to do it.
I don't know if I'm going to be there for that, though.
Why?
Do you mean, like, I know you understand.
We're not, I don't mean recording on that day, you know.
I know.
Like,
I was about to ask for.
Yeah, like, we're going to be recording. It's very variable when we'll be recording these. Anyway, yeah, thanks for sticking with us if you're listening.
Be on the forums, please.
Be on the forums. It's cool. No. Post on there. No.
I stalk the forums. Shut up, Sam.
No.
I stalk the forums.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay, yeah.
Please
put
on my bio that I'm, like, that I'm your number one fan, Sam. Like, it has to be in the bio.
What do you guys want to end on?
Narcissistic.
Why would we end on narcissistic?
No, I was
she was talking to me. What did we even say that we could end on?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so not related to what we discussed.
I agree with Dylan. Like,
that's an unimpressive thing to end.
Me and Dylan just, everyone's gonna be like, man, Delaney didn't suck.
care out of time.
Well, we gotta think about this. Brainstorm.
Yeah.
What did Jeff do, Jeff?
Right.
Drove somebody to train support.
We can do our Barney and Dylan's favorite thing from the whole season. I'll see you at the end of the world.
Vatu's laugh. Weren't we going to end on? We already did end on Vatu's laugh.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. Oh my god.
Yes, Jeff.
Just end on that.
Britt, you're so adorable.
End on Britt's teasing.
No, let's end on something. What, Jeff, what were you going to say?
No, have we already done Vatu's laugh?
Yeah, I think we did that episode, yeah.
We did.
We could do a nice recap of Toph's laugh.
You mean the,
just for fun.
You mean that Toph or Buff Toph, yeah. Man Toph, yeah.
For no reason.
I don't know. That's
guys, let's
come. We're gonna do this for 5 minutes.
So what are we ending on? I don't know how long this podcast is because we stopped a few times.
It's over an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Chronic convergence, and we're gonna be done with it and the end.
I got it. Let's end on your what you think was the most nonsensical episode title from this season.
Oh, I got
it.
Hold
on, I have to pull up the list.
Oh, I got this. I know mine.
The one that doesn't make sense given the contents of the episode. I know we discussed this, but don't just say the obvious one.
Okay.
Wait,
so
I can't say mine? Are you for real, Dylan?
No, you can. You can say it.
Okay.
What?
So, like, Book 2 Discussion Podcast.
I got it.
Got it.
Dylan, like, just glaring.
Dylan didn't get it.
I think I it's not obvious. never mind. Okay. least episode title that makes sense. 1, 2, 3. Night of a Thousand Stars.
Peacekeepers.
Oh yeah, that's true. What does Peacekeepers have to do with that episode?
It doesn't have anything to do with
that one. I forgot about that. Britt, what did you say?
Yay.
I don't remember.
Okay. We're done. Okay, bye.